You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Not my favorite Kesha song, by the way. It's going down. Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
I think it's cute.
Well, you should listen longer because your buddy Pitbull is in on this song, too.
My buddy Pitbull?
Yeah.
Your pal?
The guy I keep telling you that's, like, big, but you haven't heard of.
What's the name of this song?
Timber.
Timber!
Is it Timber or Tambor?
Timber.
Timber. Well, up in the Northeast, they say Tampa by the harbor.
No, that's another Seinfeld thing.
Oh. All right.
The fix-up, remember?
Yeah. 239-337 ESPN is the number. Field Yates will be on the program at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk all things NFL with him. We got Rams Saints. We got Patriots Chiefs. We've got some stuff on social media about the passing of the torch between the young quarterbacks and the old quarterbacks. So go check that out. You can give us a buzz again, 239-337-ESPN. You can follow me at Twitter, at CraigESPN. You can follow Pete Shepard at PSHEP326. And as I mentioned, hit us up on Facebook or our website at 993ESPN.com.
Yeah, we're going to do our Twitter poll if we can. See.
All right, so what do we decide here?
Sorry, it's based on that.
That's okay.
No, but
just put the four teams. Who
just put the two games. Who's winning?
Yeah.
That's simple. Break it down.
Yes. Friday. Don't want people to outthink themselves. I want any part of your brains oozing out of your ears.
Yeah.
So make it nice and simple.
We will have our pigskin picks, and it's picks, like two, coming up next hour. Gabe Morenci will still join us at 4:30, and we'll get all the insight on him. So insight from him on these two games.
I'm really leaning towards the Rams in this one. I'll save my official pick for pigskin picks, but I really am leaning towards the Rams in this one. I think the Talib factor. I think Sam Darnold is going to have a monster game. I'm telling you.
Sam Darnold?
Yeah. Nope. I'm Sam Darnold.
Jared Goff?
Aaron Donald's going to have a monster game this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I probably will.
I went quarterback. He went lightning. Okay.
Sam Darnold would have been really good. No, Aaron Donald in that defensive tackle spot, I think, is going to have a field day with Andrews. Pete, I said, go back and look at the game last week. He really struggled. He got called for four flags, two false starts, two holding calls, could not handle Fletcher Cox, got pancaked several times. I think it's going to be even tougher now this week.
All right. Chris is still wearing, for the fourth day in a row, I believe, his nice, shiny red Patrick Mahomes jersey.
A lot of flies in that thing.
No.
It's got a clean as a whistle. It smells game worn.
Is it game worn? Any coffee stains on it? Anything like that? We're still in good shape?
Shockingly, no. It
smells gamey.
That's good.
I'm pretty good with coffee.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what gets me every time I eat it? And I feel like a fool when I spill it.
Drink it or eat it? Okay.
Cereal.
Yeah?
The milk. And it times out perfectly where that dribble just goes right down.
Do you use a big spoon?
No.
I don't mean a gigantic spoon.
A little spoon. No. You use a teaspoon for cereal.
Yeah.
You don't use a tablespoon. That's way too big.
It's too big?
Yes.
What about soup? Do you eat a tablespoon for soup? Because a small spoon for soup is annoying.
Yeah, it is. I like a tablespoon.
You talk about dripping on your chin.
No, but this isn't soup. This is cereal.
Now, do you have the same problem with soup? Do you drip soup on your chin as well like you do cereal?
Not a big soup guy, to be honest with you. I can't.
But you've had soup. So
no, I've had
soup.
Do you
have the same problem?
No, it's cereal. It's the milk.
Yeah.
It's the milk.
2%, half 2%. Almond milk.
2%.
Okay.
No, my problem with almond milk is I don't know what it is. It won't make a cookie cereal. It won't make it soggy. It won't work its way into.
I'm not a dunker.
It won't. Because I've tried to dunk Oreos into almond milk.
Yeah.
And they're very, very crunchy.
Mm.
And I don't
say anything.
Could you turn your cereal
off? I'm dunking in the dingbat over here. Came on my phone.
Now, you strike me as a sugar cereal guy.
No.
Healthy stuff?
No, yeah.
Like, I had a bowl of Total this morning, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we've had the conversation. I love
Cheerios.
I usually go Cheerios.
I love Raisin Bran. I think I'm the only person that likes Raisin Bran.
Now, which kind of Raisin Bran?
I like it without milk. I like it as a snack.
You need to go to Total Raisin Bran, not regular
Kellogg's.
Anything that's got the oats in it, sign me up for it. I'm a big fan of that nice crunch.
Yeah.
The flakes get
Bob's
so
just
soggy.
Saying, look at the sugar content on your Kellogg's, not Frosted Flakes, but your Raisin Bran.
Yeah, Raisin Bran.
Pretty darn high.
Yeah.
And it's more for the effect of the raisins themselves are a high natural sugar.
And I don't even care about the raisins. It's the cereal that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I was a
the
kid.
The cornflake, I guess.
When I was a kid, I liked Frosted Flakes. That's a lot of sugar.
You know, you can't be.
Apple Jacks, too much sugar.
I didn't go into the. I didn't do like Fruit Loops or that.
I didn't like them either.
Growing up, I was a big Cinnamon Toast Crunch fan.
Yeah, that's a good sense.
And can still do it from time to time. You just can't do it every morning.
Ever do Golden Grahams back in the day?
Yeah, Golden Grahams.
How about Kix?
Loved them.
Kix are for kids.
See, Kix is when I a little less sugar.
Like Captain Crunch with the. Very my sweet. Favorite was the berries.
Yeah.
Oh, Crunch Berry.
Now with Kix, I would add my own sugar because there wasn't any in it.
I just never
two teaspoons of sugar. Mixing it with the milk on the bottom of the bowl.
Ooh. Smacks with the frog on
the frog.
Dig'em
Smacks.
God, great, so sweet. God, it was so sweet.
I flipped on Ted 2 the other day. It was on FX, I think.
Yeah,
and it was the scene where you've got Liam Neeson.
Yeah,
buying the box of Trix.
Yeah.
So are you telling me that if I buy these tricks, no harm will come to me? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles.
I never did. Are aware I'm not a child. Yes. Yes, I know that.
Never did Fruity Pebbles back in the
day. Oh, Fruity Pebbles? The Cocoa Pebbles were great. The Reese's peanut butter cereal? Fantastic.
We never really bought any sugary stuff for the most part.
Oh, Oreos had a cereal for a minute.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, my
God. That was way better.
That's
so ridiculous.
It was great.
Oh, man.
I just like that. I like Cheerios and Rice Krispies plain.
Did Rice Krispies for a while.
Yep.
Yeah, the secret to that, you add a lot of fruit.
They get way too soggy too quickly.
Well, you need to try your almond milk on that. They won't get soggy at all. Snap, crackle, nothing.
Maybe that'll work.
Yeah.
239 text in, my ex used to eat Cheerios, but instead of milk, she used coffee. I know three people that will not do milk in their cereal. They do orange juice.
Oh, that's so awful.
I know some that have done water,
gosh,
but not orange juice.
It's just terrible.
Or you do cream or do tomato juice because his rods and cones were messed up.
I think I've only done. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he reached in and grabbed the tomato juice.
Yeah.
That looked like milk to me.
That was one of my favorite episodes.
That's a great episode. That's the Peterman account one.
Yeah.
And that's the one with the Kenny Rogers chicken.
Yep. 239 says,
you don't eat broccoli, Newman.
No.
Yes, I do. It's
good for you.
Vile weed.
Vile weed.
One of honey mustard.
Troll number two says, holy blank, here we go again. I don't feel a tangent coming on. I was just a little sidebar.
How long do you want us to break down these conference championship games?
I go all day.
Hey, wait till next week. We got two teams for 2 weeks. Thank God we got Monday off.
Yeah, right? It's only 9 days
only
of
nine
nonsense,
days.
Right?
Only seven for you.
Yeah. Hey. fact.
All right, some other news.
Anyway.
A little closer to home for teams that are not in the playoffs. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, big question on whether DeSean Jackson will be returning to the Buccaneers. He said, we'll see. That's what I have an agent for. I think you read that at the top, too. And I would think Bruce Arians would want him on. Now, he's $10 million, and I guess that's what it's going to come down to. Maybe that's a little too much, but I think Bruce would want his speed.
Well, there's no cap hit if they cut him.
Yeah.
So it literally comes down to, do you want him or not?
I personally would. You guys said earlier in the week you would not.
I would want to, but I would like to see, because you can't do the butterfly, and sacrifice what? Or if you, I'd like to see the alternatives if they're not going to go for him.
Here's the problem.
Can you add another offensive lineman? Can you add some depth on the D-line with that $10
million? There were just a couple of games where you could see the speed of DeSean Jackson. He was he was unlike anybody else on the field at the time, and I just don't think he was ever properly used. Now, will coaching do anything about that? I don't know. I think the larger problem was he had a quarterback that couldn't get him the ball, and I think he knows he had a quarterback in Jameis Winston that could not get him the ball, and I think that's where he's frustrated and he's ready to leave town. I think he sold his house, actually. Mm-hmm. So
He put it up on the market.
Okay, so it's not sold yet. probably takes a while to sell a $3 million house.
But we also want to get everybody's predictions on these games. So, I mean, feel free and tell us why. Don't just say a score or whatever. But I mean, tell us why. Look, I think what's going to be intriguing in the first game anyway is the defensive backfield for the Rams. Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, who got torched by Michael Thomas, by the way. I mean torched badly. Mm-hmm. The first meeting. And nine targets, 146 yards, six first downs, and a touchdown. And Thomas torched the Eagles last week, too, with 171 yards and a touchdown, 12 catches.
He's been doing it to everybody this year.
He's on fire. But I'm wondering if Aqib Talib's going to make the switch and try to at least guard him one-on-one, at least initially. And then you have Marcus Peters go over on the other side and you know, take care of Tre'Quan Smith or whoever else is out there, Austin Carr, who else? Tommy Lee Lewis, one of those guys. So I think that's an intriguing. And also, you know, Goff under pressure in the dome. What's that going to be like? His first road playoff game.
Yeah.
In a very, very hostile environment.
I mean, the Rams are pretty good on the road, but it's the playoffs, and it's a hostile environment. You're right. It's going to be real curious to see.
Is Gurley and C.J. Anderson going to light it up again?
I'm most intrigued by C.J. Anderson. As he said this week, I clearly have the freshest legs in the league. And they used him last week. He had a great game. I am fascinated to see if they could pull that off a couple weeks in a row.
It'll be interesting. The Saints have the number two run defense. They only average giving up 80.2 yards a game. I think that goes over. I think that goes over that. I think the Rams will be able to run the football a little bit on this team.
If C.J. Anderson does have another good game here, does this kick off a new trend in the NFL for playoff teams just to pick somebody up off the scrap heap who hasn't played all year, but they're fresh?
You got good enough offensive line. Why not? You got a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field, and you got good offensive weapons in the passing game.
Yeah.
Why not? It's the theory of, you know, running backs are very much interchangeable.
I mean, you know, like Le'Veon Bell's real fresh right now.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, just looking at the box score from their first matchup, what was that, week nine, I think it was?
Was it six or nine?
Week nine.
Oh, no, it was week nine.
Six was the Patriots.
Oh, Patriots and Chiefs were week six. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Alvin Kamara, 19 carries, 82 yards, two rushing touchdowns. Yep. On top of that, Kamara had four receptions for 34 yards, adding another touchdown through the air. I think that should, outside of Michael Thomas, obviously, I think the game plan for the Rams will be have Talib follow around Michael Thomas. But how do you stop Alvin Kamara?
Yeah.
You can't let him touch the ball. What is that? Four receptions a night. You can't let him touch the ball 20, 25 times in this game. That's putting the ball in his hand way too many times.
Yep.
Yeah, and getting the yard. I mean, you can touch the ball 25 times, but you can't come up with the type of yardage that he did. But I think Thomas is the key.
Yeah.
I think Thomas is key here. Ben Watson also had a good game last time out, too. I'm not putting a lot of stock because there are players that were not in that game, I do think.
Watson's listed as questionable.
Marcus Peters is going to have a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got to.
Gumbo, baby. Gumbo.
But don't you get the feeling he's going to commit a stupid penalty at some point?
Maybe.
Let his aggressions get the best of him. But Aqib Talib being back, and he's also capable of making a stupid penalty at times, as great as he is.
Ben Watson had a pretty efficient game. He was targeted four times, three catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown back in week nine. Now, on the other side of it, with Rankins going down last week for the Saints, Todd Gurley carried the ball 13 times, had 68 yards in their first matchup. 24 of those yards came on one run.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So if he can get going, then combo him with C.J. Anderson and bring in a fresh running back to spell Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, though, in that game, they're down 35-17 at the half. So the Rams had to throw the ball a lot more, which is a big part of, you know, so some of those numbers can be skewed a little bit. I do think they're going to try a combo Gurley and C.J. Anderson right out of the gate, though.
They should.
And also, a difference with the Rams this go-around versus Week 9, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
This offense has not looked as explosive without him on the field.
You're right. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Stony Brook Golf Club text line, already predicting Rams-Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And let's go to the phones. Mike and Benita has a comment on the NFC Championship game. Mike, welcome to Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
What's up, Mike?
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
With the Saints and the Rams, I think you're going to have a totally different experience for Golf. At home, he could look up at, if you watch that game closely, he kept looking up at the big screen, seeing where the defense was while he's listening in his ear for the play. And they're not going to telegraph their defense in New Orleans. And that crowd noise, he had enough trouble with the Dallas Cowboy fans in L.A. He hasn't experienced New Orleans yet. And I think they're going to struggle without Cooper Kupp, and he hasn't been throwing touchdowns. if they shut that running game down, it's going to be a long day for the Rams.
Well, that's I think that's easier said than done, though, for a few reasons. Because I think that the Rams, I think with C.J. Anderson, the guy's got 66 carries, 422 yards, four touchdowns in three games. I mean, he has made a difference. It's going to be a different style of running backs. Him and Gurley, they can get them going just a little bit.
That's a nasty tandem there. Yep. But on offense, who are they going to be throwing to?
Oh, they still got people to throw. They can still throw to Brandon Cooks. They got Woods. Who else? They got
Gerald Everett.
Tyler Higbee's a guy.
100 from their running back with Kamara with a receiving touchdown and a running touchdown. Still going to be one of those games where whoever's got the ball last probably wins.
Turnovers are always huge on the whole.
Yeah.
Huge. You know, and like in the Patriots-Chiefs game, I think it's going to come down. You know, who can just make that one extra stop?
Hit panic mode in the first 5 minutes if things don't go your way if you're the Rams. That's to be expected. The crowd's going to be nuts. It's going to be off the chain. You got to weather the first couple drives. It's a long football game.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep fighting back. Just one play at a time.
But you saw what the Eagles did last week. They were up 14-0. Right. Could have easily been 21-0 very easily.
Well, I think if they got 21-0, that would have been a different
dynamic
story.
And that fake punt that they had, they needed 1 yard and got four, was the difference maker in that game.
By the way, cool story with Alshon Jeffrey, who, of course, had the last pass go through his fingertips. Some little kids wrote him words of encouragement, and he went to go visit him. How about that?
Great stuff.
Cool story. Little feel-good story for you, for Alshon Jeffrey. So, all right, we'll continue to take your calls, talking about these conference championship games, 239-337-ESPN.
101 votes already, Craig.
On our poll?
Yep.
All right, we'll update that in just a little bit. That's good to know. And Field Yates will be joining us in just a few moments from ESPN and give us his insight to these games coming up and everything else going on, plus the Scott Linehan firing today. The offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, who appeared to be safe as early as Monday, he gone. He fired.
He gone.
So
he gone.
We got all that coming up with Field.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Scheman with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Coming up in a minute, we'll talk with Field Yates from ESPN, get his thoughts on the games this weekend. Rams-Saints 3:05 kickoff, Patriots and Chiefs at 6:40. We will have those games radio play-by-play here on 99.3 ESPN throughout the weekend. A little programming reminder, we will be taking off Martin Luther King Day on Friday. I presume some form of ESPN radio will be on in our place. Mm-hmm. We'll be back on Tuesday with Adam Schefter, and he'll be on, and we'll break down what we will then know is the matchup for the Super Bowl.
Sure will.
So all that coming your way. Looking forward to all that and a big weekend. Without any further delay, let's welcome Field Yates from ESPN, our NFL insider, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out betterplantoday.com and schedule a free consultation. Phil, how are you?
Phil, what's up, bud?
Gentlemen, what's going on? It's a championship weekend. No better place to start it than hanging out with you guys right now.
Hey, did they send you anywhere? Are you in Arrowhead or New Orleans?
I will be in Bristol, Connecticut, weather pending, or permitting, I should say.
Blizzard coming,
baby.
We've
got a major snowstorm coming.
Yeah, I heard.
I'll bundle up for that. Before we get into the games this weekend, interesting development today with the Cowboys. Because I believe as recently as Monday, Jason Garrett seemed to indicate that Scott Linehan would be back as the offensive coordinator, and now today he's not. He's been fired. Any reaction by you on that?
I think it's always important to remember that it's easy for coaches at their press conferences to say, hey, no changes are expected at this time. Mm-hmm. Give yourself an out, which is exactly what Jason Garrett did, as he had time to contemplate the offense from this past year. And whether a change was merited at the offensive coordinator spot. And you know something, guys, I think that in many cases, coaching firings or replacements or dismissals can often be a scapegoat. But I think in some cases, it's merited. And I think with Scott Linehan, it's such a large body of work. He'd been there for five seasons with the Dallas Cowboys that I don't view this as knee-jerk. Whereas, thinking back to the season, like, what did Mike Smith being fired by the Buccaneers accomplish? Other than he got more time with his family sooner and the Bucs got to do something to send a message. Well, the reality was they were terrible on defense with Mike Smith. They were terrible on defense without Mike Smith. So I think that the Scott Linehan firing was probably one that is not a major surprise to those around the situation. That being said, in terms of where they turn next, I'm not so sure that they're going to go out there and do something dramatic at offensive coordinator, but certainly they have some options because there is appeal to coaching that offense with Zeke Elliott as the centerpiece.
Well, my opinion is that I still think Jerry Jones, whether it's after this weekend, if the Saints lose or whatever, I think you're going to hear rumblings. I think he's going to go after Sean Payton. I'm not saying he's going to get him, but I think he is going to make a big-time push at 77 years old to make one last run, give it all he's got, and try like hell to get Sean Payton somehow, some way. May not, but I think you're going to see that rumor mill spin big-time, Field.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't think there's ever going to be an end to the Sean Payton to Dallas rumors, Pete, until Sean Payton retires, right? Or I guess maybe Jerry Jones retires, yeah, or the Cowboys win a championship. It's a fair point for you to make. I think that Sean Payton, given his history in Dallas, obviously was part of Bill Parcells' staff there for quite some time, and we know he has an affinity there. I'm not sure if he still does, but for a long time, Sean Payton had a house in Dallas. I believe his family may still be there, or at least his children may be. So I'm not saying it's necessarily going to happen. I don't think you are either, Pete, but I think that you are fair to wonder whether the rumor mill will ramp back up one more time if the Saints either lose this weekend or, heck, if the Cowboys don't name an offensive coordinator prior to the Super Bowl, because at the end of the year, who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe the Cowboys will still go chasing Sean Payton, even if he has just won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm. Field, what did you think of Adam Gase's press conference with the Jets this week?
Yeah, guys, I saw it, and I understand why it generated a lot of headlines. It was, you know, in some ways bizarre because of the facial expressions that I know came off as somewhat curious to most people. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot because I've been thinking about the coaching cycle in the NFL and whether we've sort of evaluated it properly or not in the court of public opinion, because I think we put so much into these hires at the time of the hire and say, hey, this guy was a winner, or this guy was a loser, in terms of the hiring cycle. And I realize more and more every year that they don't really know all that much, right? I mean, some things can certainly change year to year, and coaching hires can look a lot different in the matter of 12 months. I'm not going to be too hard on Adam Gase. I think that, you know, a little bit bizarre, sure, but you know something? Like, at the end of the day, if he wins a bunch of games, people won't be talking about facial expressions or anything like that. They will be talking about, you know, the New York Jets and turning things around and him being a big part of it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you heard. I mean, I heard him on the podcast earlier this week with Florio. And it obviously was much better look and the better take than what we heard in his press conference. And I get that. But also, Adam, what a great job your colleague Adam Schefter did with Bruce Arians. I mean, that was the podcast of the week. And I think a lot of Buccaneers fans around here are, you know, lighting bonfires and they should be. There's a lot of excitement in a very short period of time because of Coach Arians coming here with his team.
Yeah, I tell you what, Pete, like, although I don't want to judge a lot of these head coaching hires, like, I understand why people are going to want to judge this Bruce Arians hire right away. And he's the one that I probably feel most comfortable assigning some sort of feel to it right now, because Bruce Arians has had multiple stints, not just as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator as well, and his track record is pretty clear, right? He is able to extract the most out of young quarterbacks, and you know something? Some of his offense is going to tailor to what Jameis Winston has struggled with. I mean, he's been far too turnover-prone, obviously leading the NFL in turnover since he was drafted number one overall back in 2015, but he's going to find ways, Bruce Arians will, to help eliminate some of those mental errors as well from Jameis Winston. They're going to be high-flying. They certainly have the pieces in place. And even if they move on from DeSean Jackson, like, how many teams would you say are clearly stacked at wide receiver enough that they can lose someone like DeShaun Jackson and still be fine? The answer is not many, but yeah, the Bucs are one of them.
Well, the best part of the Bruce Arians podcast there with Adam Schefter. It had nothing to do with the Buccaneers. It had to do with the fact that coaches never rip players, and they never rip players from other teams. And he went out on Antonio Brown calling him a diva. Then Emmanuel Sanders gets involved in this. There's a lot of back and forth. I loved it. How surprised were you that that came out of the podcast?
Yeah, I was surprised. But I always tell people, it's like we get mad at these athletes when they give us canned answers, and this applies to coaches as well. And then when they give us these long, brilliant answers, sometimes we come down hard on them. And it's like you can't have it both ways, right? You either have to appreciate the honesty and the candor, or you have to never speak ill or never complain about players having somewhat mundane answers. So I thought it was fine, and I think that there was some honesty to it. And, you know, one thing about Bruce Arians that's different as compared to a lot of people that are going to have opinions on Antonio Brown, guys, is that he's been there. Like, he's worked with Antonio Brown, and sure, things can change, and sure, guys can have moments, but it's not like Bruce Arians never spent a minute with Antonio Brown, which, you know, not that that's, you know, the reality of our job is we have to analyze and opine on a lot of people that we don't spend any time with or around. But Bruce Arians, like, if you're going to go out there and call out a player that doesn't play for your team, which is, you know, pretty much the exception, not the rule in sports, like, he at least has something to stand on. He has a leg to stand on, given the fact that they have worked together.
Phil, I want to get into the conference championship games. Let's begin with the Rams and the Saints. And I don't put any stock or a lot of stock in what happened for either conference championship game, what happened earlier in the season. But the Aqib Talib factor and the Marcus Peters factor to me is fascinating. I'm wondering if Marcus Peters is going to continue to try to cover Michael Thomas, or if he switches with Talib, vice versa. Talib didn't play in the first game. How much of a factor is that going to be, you think, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more sides than anything else. You know, one player will play on one side, the other one will play on the other side. But I tell you what, Marcus Peters obviously is a notable player. He has some big playability. Marcus Peters hasn't been very good, by the way, this year. Like, and I'm not saying that he isn't a really good player, but he's had some moments this year where he's really struggled. So it could behoove them to have as much time with Aqib Talib on Michael Thomas. That being said, guys, like, I'll be honest with you. This Saints offense still has enough that even if Michael Thomas is somewhat contained, they can find a way to, you know, get the job done still.
What do you make of C.J. Anderson last week, and how big of a factor do you think it'd be in this game this week?
Yeah, C.J. Anderson has been awesome, right? It's pretty crazy that the backup running back of the Carolina Panthers to begin the season could become the starting running back, in essence, for the L.A. Rams in a divisional round playoff game. And you know something, guys? There are a lot of tentacles to it. We can talk about, you know, value in terms of the running back position. Should you invest heavily? Should you not? Mm-hmm. We can talk about, you know, whether or not this is an indictment on Todd Gurley, which my answer is no. Whether it's more about the offensive line of the Rams, I think that's a big part of it. Did the Panthers make a mistake? So anyway, there's a lot of ways to go. Mostly, though, I'm looking at it as like, what a neat story this is. And if I were an NFL player, and obviously I'm not and never will be, my career would end when everybody told me no. And C.J. Anderson had basically 31 teams tell him no throughout much of the year. The Oakland Raiders, the miserable, pathetic Raiders, cut him after one game. And here he is about to potentially play a major role in the NFC Championship game and could be going for a second Super Bowl in a few Sundays from now.
Yeah, I mean, something's going to have to give here. I know the Saints, you know, they have the number two run defense. They average just giving up barely over 80 yards a game. I have a feeling that's going to go over for some reason. But I've been talking about this matchup all day. I think Andrews Pete, who got manhandled by Fletcher Cox, and I know Pete's playing with a busted hand, surgically repaired, that he hurt early on, or late in the season, I should say, but I think Aaron Donald might have a field day with him, and that, you know, and that's where you have to. That's where, you know, if you Drew Brees, you know, it's going to be interesting. And he does get the bit of the ball quickly, but that's a matchup that I'm going to be watching all day.
Yeah, I'd say so, and I think that you know, they're excellent disruptors on both sides of the ball. Aaron Donald's the best one; he's the best one in the NFL. Period. So he's a matchup that, you know, offenses better be ready for every single week, or else the joke is on them. Offensive line play has been a real strength for both of these squads throughout the season. The Saints have been banged up a little bit by injuries. You mentioned Andrus Peat dealing with that hand issue last week, and clearly it played a role and something to keep an eye on again this weekend. But I think the Saints know that offensively, you know, I think when you go into a matchup, there are often times where you say, we got to find either a player on the defensive side of the ball or a player on the offensive side of the ball, that every single play, you better know where he is. You better account for him. And I think it's pretty clear that when you're playing the Los Angeles Rams, that guy is number 97, Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Number 99, my apologies. Yeah. The old number in college is 97. My point is this. He's an unbelievable player. The Saints will know every single snap exactly where he is.
Talking with Field Yates from ESPN, getting ready for the conference championships this weekend over the AFC. Look, it's going to be cold for both sides, so I'm going to just put that on the table for a minute. My question is, I've been kind of waiting for Patrick Mahomes, as I've been dazzled and amazed by him like everybody else this year. Does he maybe, in a pressure situation, try to get cute one time too many with the no-look pass or the left-handed throw, and then maybe this time it backfires on him, being a younger quarterback in a big moment?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about one of those plays actually working against Patrick Mahomes up to this point. I tend to think, because I've heard this debate a lot, and I've heard the question a lot about, you know, which quarterback is under the most pressure this weekend, and which one, I think, asked differently. It's like, who does this game mean the most for? And I haven't really come up with a good answer. And I do think that for Patrick Mahomes, like, I'm kind of past the point of having any doubts. Like, I don't think the stage is going to be too big. I don't think there's anything that can suggest to me that Patrick Mahomes won't be ready on Sunday. Maybe I'm oversimplifying things, guys, and maybe I'm not giving enough gravity to the moment. But I really do believe that Patrick Mahomes has proven himself capable and ready enough to pretty much stand tall against any opponent that comes his way. I'm really looking forward to this matchup on Sunday for the chess match between the Chiefs offense and the Patriots defense. And by the way, just to kind of nip the weather question in the bud, you know, the weather forecast has improved dramatically.
Yeah.
There was a time where it was supposed to feel like minus 24 at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning in Kansas City. Game time temp is now up at like
32.
25, 28 degrees, which,
yeah.
Listen, I get it. I don't like spending, you know, 3 hours in a row outside when it's 25, 28 degrees, but yeah. That is not going to be an issue at all.
Well, I think what's interesting in this game is a couple things. One, for the Patriots, and I know they may on paper not look as talented as some other teams in the past, but you look at 2013 when they lost to the Broncos. They didn't have Gronk. They didn't have Mayo. They didn't have Wilbork. You look at 2015, a whole bunch of players were not healthy. LeGarrette Blount, Deion Lewis, Mayo, Solder, Dobson. You look at the Jaguars last year. People forget, no Julian Edelman, no Dante Hightower, no Marcus Cannon, no Malcolm Mitchell, no Ebner, no Martellus Bennett. This is as healthy as a team that they have been on the road for an atmosphere like this in a long time, which is going to play a factor. And the other thing is, which I don't think a lot of people know, is Patrick Mahomes, when he holds onto the ball for 3 seconds or more, is not good. He leads the league in interceptions with 10. He threw 2 against the Patriots earlier this year. And the Patriots lead the league with 12 picks when a quarterback holds onto the ball more than 3-plus seconds. So I'm wondering how much of a factor all of this is going to come into play.
Start with the health here, Pete, because I think it's a fair point that both teams are largely healthy. The only player who's missed both days of practice for Kansas City is Dorian O'Daniel, a linebacker who, you know, may not be as important. Not that he's not a big part of what they do, guys, but, like, you know, it doesn't register in the same way in terms of overall scale of injuries that maybe, you know, if one of the Saints starting offensive linemen wouldn't be able to play on Sunday or something like that. You know, I think that one of the unique parts about the NFL, or maybe the most unique part about the playoffs, is that it's the only league amongst the four major sports that is not designed for talent to win almost every single time. What I mean by that is we can all have fun and think about the what-if scenarios in the Western Conference this year, but push comes to shove. Don't we all think the Warriors in a 7-game series are going to be borderline impossible to beat 4 times? And I think the answer is sort of yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the Patriots are a more talented team than the Chiefs, because I'm not sure they're a more talented team than the Chargers. But I think that what last week reminded us was that preparedness, execution, game plan, things like that can ultimately, in a 1-game scenario, carry a team more so than just having the best 1 through 53. So both matchups include teams that are very close in terms of talent, that it may not be who would be this, who would win in a 15-game series, but rather who plays better on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I know that's really lame to boil it down that way, but like that's kind of what it comes down to a lot of times in the NFL.
Well, we'll see who does play better on Sunday. Fields, we'll talk to you next week. Always appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Fields.
All right, guys. Take care now.
All right, that's Field Yates from ESPN, our NFL insider, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out their website at betterplantoday.com and schedule yourself a free consultation. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
Everblade's back in action tonight in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Woo!
Yeah, that's 905 puck drop.
Yeah.
The Rushmore Plaza Civic Center. How about that? Catch the game on our sister station, 770 WJBX. Soccer over the weekend. Not a lot of great games. I know it's going to be shocking to a lot of you. Liverpool,
basketball.
Crystal Palace, that's NBCSN tomorrow at 9:30, I think. Eh, that's okay. And Fulham, Tottenham, 11 o'clock
you
on
don't
Sunday.
Even sound that enthusiastic.
I know. It's not a great weekend of soccer ahead of us. So anyway, I am excited, though, about UFC Fight Night. It is the UFC debut on ESPN Plus. It's from Brooklyn. The main event is a flyweight championship bout with Henry Cejudo and bantamweight champion TJ Dillashaw. Dillashaw had to drop like 29 pounds
to
make weight.
How quick?
Oh, like within a few days.
Wow.
Kind of shocking.
I wish I could
And
that.
By the way, we've got former Dallas Cowboy and Carolina Panther. Where is he?
Yes.
The woman beater.
Oh, Hardy.
Hardy. Yeah. Hardy is on this
card.
Yeah.
I hope he gets his butt whipped.
Yeah, really.
He's one though, right? Is he undefeated?
Yeah, it's like 1-0 though against like the lowest of the low professional
bottom
ranks.
Rung. All right, and very interesting. So,
Know what? He's actually the second to last fight.
How do you lose 29 pounds in a few days? Well, I mean, I know how you can, but I mean, right before a fight, it's gotta hurt the stamina.
Yeah, here I got. Oh, I'm sorry. That was over 12 weeks.
Oh, that's doable.
29 pounds over 12 weeks?
Yeah.
You couldn't do that?
Over 12 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's only 2 pounds and change.
Not even,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
I don't think you could.
Oh, I could. I've lost weight at that rate before.
Well, let's put it this way. He, before this fight, weighed 145 pounds, only 8% body fat. So he's not got a lot to lose.
That would be hard to lose. All right, that's interesting.
You know, I haven't gotten my my body fat percent recently.
I'm scared of that.
Probably somewhere around 8.
No, it's probably not.
Give or take.
The scale that we have at our house, it uses sonar or something. It can go through and determine your body fat. It's not pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
Sonar?
So it gives you, whatever. It's like waves through your body.
I figured out how to make your scale not weigh as much.
How's that?
You put it on carpet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to do that. It doesn't work.
What are you talking about? I'm high school Chris.
High school Chris. He's on like with 1 foot.
Yeah, but high school Chris, if you were a wrestler.
On carpet.
Down to a buck 45.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Beauty. I lost 45 pounds like that.
Fantastic.
That's impressive. Hey, while we got a moment here, you know, Pete, I know you're busy voting for the All-Star game for the NBA.
No.
That's why Dwayne Wade has all those votes.
Yeah? Yeah.
He's starting right now.
The latest All-Star voting has Kevin Durant and James Harden on the outside looking in.
You know who's starting?
Oh, so D-Wade?
No, on the West.
Oh, who? No, I don't. What?
Derrick Rose.
Oh, my God.
Is a starting guard for the Western Conference.
Yeah, what a rep.
Ahead of James Harden, ahead of Russell Westbrook.
I have my theories, though, about Durant and Harden. I think people are jealous, mad, angry at Harden for all the traveling that he does on his step-back three-pointer. And I think Kevin Durant's getting some blowback. I think people used to really like Kevin Durant. I think people really don't like Kevin Durant now.
I'm still stunned at that.
You know? Always like the greatest.
People hated Reggie Jackson. People hated Reggie Jackson too, but he was always there at
Luka
the top
Doncic
of the list.
Luka Doncic is starting right now.
Bring it on.
Seriously,
that guy's got moves.
Because it's 50% fan vote. He's got Europe voting for him.
Yeah.
It's unfair.
Wow.
Well, life's full of little disappointments. In a game that I will never
it's just
watch.
No, Luka's good. I'm not saying Luka's not good. Luka's good.
Yeah.
But you're starting backcourts, Luka and Derrick Rose?
That All-Star game has become such an embarrassment to sports. It's just ridiculous.
Well, wait a minute. What's different between that and a regular season game in the NBA these days?
Well, it's even worse. That's
60
what it is.
Points?
I don't know if it's 60 anymore.
It's
maybe 30.
Even worse. You couldn't pay me to take me and 100 of my closest friends in the most luxurious suite ever to go watch that nonsense. 200 to 198 and 80,000 three-pointers. Absolutely no defense whatsoever. No pride at all. Just threes, and showboat dunks with no defense at all. It's embarrassing.
Gentlemen, it is almost 4 o'clock on a Friday. Pigskin Picks coming up. And your chance to win $1,000 with the Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab. Download our app for free. Type in the word call, C-A-L-L, call. I'm giving you a heads up. Don't do it now. Do it in 5 minutes. It's activated for about the first 10, 15 minutes of the hour. Put you in a nationwide contest. You, listener, could win $1,000. Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab. The word is call. Pigskin Picks coming up next. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.